Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." This is the word of the Lord.
I wonder what gives us love. Isaiah 7, 10 to 16, what another cracking good reading that's been today. God is love, but what does that really mean? What does it mean for us to be loved by God? You know, or what does it mean for God to give us love? Or to love the world, or to love the broken in the world? Last week I reminded you that God was at war with sin. That's right, he's at war with sin. And so in love, he's at war with sin in our lives. And so his love overcomes sin through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and rising to new life. But I wonder what it really means to be loved by God himself, and how do we sometimes get this view so very wrong? I actually think maybe at the heart of it is sometimes we think we control God, or that God has to fit in our box. The number of people of Israel, the number of times the people of Israel got this wrong, and the prophets keep coming to them time and time and time again, and finally along comes Isaiah, and the people of Israel thought Jesus would actually, when Jesus comes along, I mean, Isaiah the prophet sent, and he gives these beautiful words that we've just heard, but I actually think the people of Israel thought Jesus would be the son of a king, born and raised Jewish, amass an army and overthrow others so his reign could begin. They were too caught up on the physicality of the world, and they weren't caught up on the spirituality of the world. And so they missed how Jesus was going to come. You know, and the problem was that this pesky prophet called Isaiah keeps bringing new things to the table from God. And the other pesky thing about it was they came true. Yeah. Let's look at this pesky fellow, hey? There's this Syrian-Israel crisis taking place, and King Ahaz's struggle for power is taking place, and God sends Isaiah and his son to encourage Ahaz and offer a sign from the Lord. And this sign from God finds its ultimate fulfillment in the birth of the Messiah. And it comes true in Matthew 1, 18 through to 23. For Israel, better days were coming. And if they could just trust in God's provision and not try and build allegiances with otherworldly powers. Because Isaiah is saying, don't align yourself with the things that aren't of God. You know, do you hear the words of comfort from the Bible inviting you to draw closer to God? Because that's what it says, draw closer to God. Don't draw closer to society and its ways, draw closer to God. Because sometimes I think that we hear the voices of society telling us that they are the only hope. And you know what? King Ahaz wrestled with this as well. In troubling times, God still encourages us. And King Ahaz was told not to fear those who are plotting against him. The encouragement is for King Ahaz of Judah is to have faith, to trust in God's ability. See, Israel, the northern kingdom, and Syria are not strong enough, but God is. God is strong enough. Judah, the south kingdom, you know, they are strong enough with God. But the north kingdom and Syria, well, they're not strong enough. God doesn't break a promise either. Ahaz chose not to test the Lord, even though his faith was weak and he felt the victory was lost. He still knew who God was and what God could do. And that's something that should be attested to Ahaz. You know, he could have done, you know, we get other men like Gideon and they go out and test God, and other people test God. But, you know, King Ahaz, he also knew of God's love. And to have the prophet Isaiah turn up and to give him words of care and affirm just God's love for him. And I reckon it brought peace to his troubled soul at that time. There's a difference between promises and prophecy. And I said, I questioned my church this. I tell my kids in scripture, there's a difference between promises and prophecy. A prophecy is just a prediction of the future. But when it actually comes true, it moves from being a prophecy to being a promise. Because it came true, especially when it's from God. It's easy to call Isaiah a prophet as he brings God's message. And once his message comes to reality, it's seen as this true prophecy or this promises. However, God does not use Isaiah to bring a prophecy as much as he uses him to make known his promise of love and care and hope for society. And Isaiah is given a wonderful sign of redemption, a child to come. You know, in chapter 7, verses 14 to 16, a virgin shall conceive a son and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. See, God sends the Saviour of the world. And if God didn't love the world, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. So what would be the purpose in that? If God didn't love the world, he would not have sent Jesus. So the virgin birth passages, and we find them in Matthew 1, 23 to 25 and Luke 1, 30 to 37. Luke remarks that nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. If we can believe that God made the universe out of nothing, we can certainly believe as well that he can suspend the usual physical laws that apply and allow a Messiah to be born of a virgin. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's love through his sacrificial death and resurrection, which demonstrates the ultimate act of divine love and provides a path for human salvation and eternal life. His willingness to lay down his life for humanity shows the depth of God's love and is presented as the highest form of love. Not just any form of love, it's not just a love, it is the highest form of love, fulfilling a promise of redemption and divine grace to believers. So what does God's love give us? Well, there are four main things that I think actually God's love gives us. Forgiveness. It shows God's forgiveness towards us. It shows God's mercy towards us. It shows God's grace towards us. And this is the beautiful one. It shows God's empowerment in each of us. Forgiveness, mercy, grace, empowerment. Each is an individual gift. Is just wonderful. But when you put them together, they help us find our fulfillment and purpose in life. This sacrificial death of Jesus, well, his crucifixion is viewed as the ultimate testament to God's love, where he gave his one and only son for the salvation of humanity. This action demonstrates that love is not just a feeling, but a profound self-giving act. When we get to forgiveness, our redemption from sin through Jesus' death, because that's what it is, it's forgiveness of sin through Jesus' death. In other words, Jesus is seen as atoning or bearing the sin for the whole world. And he is an offering of forgiveness as a promise of eternal life to those who yield their lives to him as Saviour and believe in him as their cure from sin. You know, it says in the book of Romans, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's as simple as it gets, brothers and sisters. It doesn't say all who do a course at church or all who get baptized or all. It just says all who call on the name of the Lord. Then there's this beautiful mercy, hey? This is a revolutionary love, mercy is. Unlike human love, which often is dependent on the recipient's merit, God's love was extended to humanity even when they were his enemies through sin and the rejection of him. He still has mercy enough to want to reconcile himself to all of us. See, God has been at war with sin since it came into the world. He's not at war with us. God's not at war with us. He loves us. He's at war with the sin in us. That's it. And so even when he loves us, but he doesn't love the sin. So he is showing mercy because he could turn around and say, but you've grasped hold of sin and you just want to live these sinful lives without me. And he could shun us, but he doesn't because he sits there and says, no, I want the glory of me, the glory of the Lord to shine through you, which means your better days haven't happened yet. Your best days have not happened yet, no. And then he wants to bring healing. As we yield our lives to Jesus, God loves starts healing us. It starts healing, it starts with our souls and with the forgiveness of sin and moving to other aspects of our life, our heart, our mind, and our strength. And we're being restored to being in the image of God himself, forgiven and set free. We're being restored to being in his image. You know, and then there's this wonderful thing about grace, which is the giving aspect of God. And I suppose many of us were brought up with the acronym of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. It's a free gift of life in abundance given to us, not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, but because God loved us and wanted us to have it. It's a gift given by having faith in Christ alone. And then there are the promises of God. You know, folks, today is the Sunday of God's love in Advent, and there is so much to be thankful for about God's love for us. Even though we're broken and continue to sin, God continues to forgive, heal, restore, renovate our lives, and it's so good. It is so good. I know that even in my own life, I look on it and I go, God, surely you can't keep doing that. And he goes, I've got this. We've got this. I've got it because of my son Jesus. So Isaiah the prophet, he kept reminding the people to return to God and stay faithful and that God would never forsake them. And they chose other ways and paths, and it all came crashing down as they were taken into slavery in a promised land, in a foreign land. And it was just terrible for them. They'd actually seen the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north, already taken off into slavery. Exiled to Assyria, exiled to Babylon. So the south kingdom ends up going to Babylon. You know, that's where they get exiled to. But God keeps his promises, and he still does today. And he says, I want to give you forgiveness, mercy, and grace. You know, and just in a few short days, this is what we're going to hear. In a few short days, this is what you hear. For unto us a child is born, Emmanuel, God is with us. We're called to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? Because he first loved us, and he sought us out when we were dead in our sins to have life with him. So this week, may the love of God fill you, and may you go and love your neighbor in Christ's name. May you serve your neighbor with Christ's hands. May you walk with your neighbor with Christ's feet. And may you forgive your neighbor with Christ's heart in all that you do. Amen.